Pull some protection for their bra. Was it? Oh, it's finished.
No, no, for sure. Sure. She's still W. You'll be able to go. Yeah, it's fine.
When is it?
Sunday, just one session. Well, speak to me after the
Okay,
shoot.
which is W?
I'll speak to him after the shoot. We'll take care of it. It's all good. You're in. Don't worry. I'm just have to deal with the details. Okay, so we're on the Ein Vav, I believe, yeah? Where are we holding?
According to this answer, yes.
Nine tests, sorry. Nine tests in the last paragraph. We started and we took a little bit of a journey into the world of Bitachon. The Yesod we learned yesterday was that Bitachon is not when you're chilled. Bitachon is when you recognize how big your problem is. Bitachon is when you recognize how big your problem is. You recognize the sakana, and then you have Bitachon. Not recognizing you have a problem and feeling chilled is not Bitachon. You just don't even know that you have a problem. That's the most important Yesod, yeah? And if you play this through your own system, you'll see this is something we do all the time. Correct, that's what you want. Once again, you want to be appropriate. If it's a 3 out of 10 problem, you don't want to be coming in at fives and sixes. There's therapy for that. Again, if it's a five problem, you don't want to be coming in at twos and threes. There's therapy for that as well. You want to be more or less appropriate. You want to be reacting to the problem appropriately to the problem. If this is a 2 out of 10 problem, why are you bouncing off the walls at a nine? On the other hand, if this is like, this problem is sending cold shivers up and down my spine, why are you so chilled? You have to test, is it because I recognize the problem and I have bitachon, or is it because I'm just like, I'm sweeping the problem under the carpet, and therefore I don't worry about it? That's a very difficult cheshbon, of course. But if the problem's overwhelming, you have to check out, is this an overwhelming problem? And if not, then you have to find out why you're reacting inappropriately. For sure. Yeah. Okay. Shalom Baruch. Okay, so now let's go a little bit further with this betoch. We will come back to why we're doing it now because we're dealing with kriya, which is a type of tefillah that's aimed at someone. So we, okay. To the extent that the danger, the problem is getting bigger, you have to recognize and work on your relationship with Hashem more. And of course, the betochen has to grow. L'moshel. Somebody who has an enemy, has a problem, and he recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can help him to overcome this problem, and he has betochen in Hashem about that. Good. Aval imbo k'negdo, Gedud Shalem, but entire battalions coming against him. And he's there with his bow and arrow. His relationship and understanding of Hashem as it was before is not going to be enough. He's going to have to upgrade. You see, I understand that Hashem can give me 100 shekels when I need 100 shekels, yeah? But I need $1 million right now. I don't think Hashem is going to do that for me. Why not? Because Hashem can't. Well, why do 100 shekels and $1 million to Hashem is exactly the same. Yeah, no difference. So to tell me I'm having betochen because I need 100 shekels and it's a problem because I really need it, but I have betochen in Hashem. Now I need $1 million. That betochen that I had for 100 shekels is going to have to upgrade because the betochen that you have for the 100 shekels is not going to get you to have the calm, relaxed on the $1 million. That you have to check out for yourself. We talk only 2 matters. When it's different for us.
Must be unlucky.
That's not a lacking. No. Your level of betochen allows you to trust Hashem up to a certain amount. I'll just use that as an example. Yeah. Correct. So if your problem, well, I'm just translating it from his example into money, because money is what gets people attention. I'm still talking about, God coming to you with bows and arrows and knives and sticks. It doesn't really work for me. But money is something that our pockets have got good ears. So if one guy's coming to kill you like him, so let's say you need 100 shekels, I would talk to Hashem to give me 100 shekels, because my understanding of how big Hashem is and how much he wants to help me is 100 shekels worth. But $1 million, I don't have a talk to Hashem giving me $100 million. Then I'm going to have to take care of myself, because Hashem's not going to help me with $1 million. That means my betochen in Hashem and my realization of how much Hashem's capable of doing is going to have to grow as the problem grows. One at a time. No, that's what he said. I'm just putting into our language what he said. Then you're going to be anxious and worried and nervous.
Once again,
what you just said is off the charts. Prerequisite of betochen, I just want to translate what I heard you say. Prerequisite of betochen is until you've got 100%, you don't have betochen. That's what you just said. So that's ridiculous. No, the level of betochen I have now is this. Yeah? Now, what does it mean I have betochen? That means I feel secure and comfortable that this problem Hashem's going to take care of. Right? When the problem gets bigger, yeah, my betochen doesn't allow me to feel calm and relaxed and feel that problem be taken by care of Hashem, and therefore I slip into anxiety. Then I'm going to have to grow my betochen in order to get menuchas hanefesh and yishuv hadas in the problem being this big. And until you get there, you're going to be anxious, nachon, because we are still human and imperfect, nachon.
And not a million.
Intellectually, we understand that doesn't make any sense. But we're not dealing with intellect. We're dealing with yishuv hadas and menuchas hanefesh. We're dealing with betochen in your hands, not in your head.
I think that's a chesaron.
It's not a chesaron, it's reality. I don't see reality as being a chesaron. This is what is.
Yes, God can do anything.
Again, real, ideal process. My real is right now, 1,000 shekels, I'm cool, relaxed. I recognize how big the problem is, and I'm chilled, and I've total menuchas hanefesh that Hashem's got this covered. $1 million, I'm not totally cool and relaxed, because that's my real. Can you accept reality the way it is, even though you don't like it? I said, that's what I just did. And you asked me why. So you haven't accepted reality yet. No, once again, when you're asking... my betochen needs to grow. Why can I only pick up 100 kilos in the gym and not 1,000 kilos? Because my muscles aren't developed enough yet. I have to go and practice and work out in the gym and develop the capabilities of lifting 1,000 kilos. But right now, I can only lift 100. Well, why? There's a chesaron. No, that's my real. Reality. This is what is. For Americans, understand accepting reality the way it is very hard, because that's not what they teach you in America. You look at it again. Again, when you can't pick up the weights in the gym, you're going to have to. That's not God's problem. But it's my issue, but it's not a lacking, it's not a chesaron, it's a reality. And there's no judgment whether that's good or bad, it's just what it is. If you want to beat yourself up, that's fine. The reality doesn't represent a lack or a chesaron. Because to have a lack and a chesaron, you compare it to something else. I don't compare it to anything. This is my level of betochen, and I would like to grow it. So I'm now going to make that my mission to grow it. Or I'm not interested in growing it. I'm happy to be anxious. I'll continue being anxious. Those are the choices you make after you've accepted reality. But it's not a good or bad thing. It's just what is. That's all we've been doing here for the last 22 years. We work on betochen. We learn hilchos betochen. We learn again. We learn, I'm trying to show you how we do it. We first of all learn betochen. We go to the sources, the Torah sources that teach us how to grow our betochen. The instruction manual that came with the Torah. Okay? Then we do exercises. We practice. We become aware of the issues and we practice. And as you practice, you start getting satir ishmaya. You open for Hashem a pinprick, And he starts opening for you bigger and bigger gates, and he starts giving you bigger and bigger challenges. Slow, slow, gentle growth process. We don't hit the ball out the park. In the meantime, Hashem's got everything covered. In the meantime, reality is the way it is, and Hashem has got you covered. Because Hashem recognizes your inabilities, your lacks, your constraints, and Hashem's got you covered while you're busy doing what you have to do. Remind me to speak about this again, Erev Yom Kippur. Because everybody falls apart Erev Yom Kippur because they got this long thing of things they have to do tshuva for, and they can't do tshuva for everything, so their tshuva is not going to be accepted, and they're going to burn in hell at 350 degrees Celsius if they're a good guy, and if you're not a good guy, you're going to roast 150 degrees. That's how we were brought up. That's what we were taught. We're all good Christians. While you're doing what you're supposed to do, Hashem can run the world and take care of everything. He's a big boy. You can go to the dentist, and Hashem is still going to carry on running the world while you're in the dentist, incapacitated in the dentist seat, and you can't run your office. Hashem will take care of things while you're in the dentist. Did you notice yesterday in the dentist, the world carried on without you? Oh, good. You have the fear to go to the dentist? Go to the dentist. It's always like that, baby. It's always like that, because you can't cross all your T's and dot all your R's. So while you're busy crossing this T, what about all the others? So Hashem's got that covered as well. Yes, but
I saw the marshal.
Yes, you saw marshal the opposite way.
So when it comes to $1 million, wait a minute, Hashem's got that covered. 100, hey, I got focus, I can do that.
Again, do you recognize how big your problem is? And then you recognize there's nothing you can do about it. Yeah. And then you hand it to Hashem.
100, I think I can. That's where I'm lacking in the
talk. No.
It's not that, 100 weight.
It's not that you're lacking in the talk. And it's just you don't feel the need to be studious to talk to Hashem because I've got this covered. It's another discussion. It's a problem, but it's not this problem. We're talking about somebody who has got betochen that Hashem's going to give him the $100. But he doesn't have betochen yet. That means he doesn't have Yeshua Das, Menuchas HaNefesh, that Hashem's going to give him $1 million. For a whole bunch of reasons. He doesn't think he's worthy. You have to upgrade that aspect of it. You're right.
What's my problem?
I don't know what your problem is. What am I? You pay me $500 an hour, I'll help you work out what your problem is.
I'm going to see the problem with 100. I'm like, I got it.
We're talking about somebody who doesn't have the 100 and he doesn't have the million.
Right, but I have no problem.
Again, that's you. I'm talking in the safer. We have somebody who recognizes the enormity of his problem. It's a one. And he knows he can't do the one. So he has the token in Hashem, and he's fine. When he looks at the eight, and he recognizes the enormity of the problem, he doesn't have a token in Hashem yet because it's too big a problem, and his appreciation of Hashem hasn't grown yet to the point where he trusts Hashem for $1 million. The Bonaventure of once, I'm going back way back when, borrowed $1 million. In those days, yeah? When $1 million was real money, $1 million is not, you know, nobody feels proud because they got $1 million. You know, they just pay off a few chavers and the rest will have to wait. You know, so I mean, a dirham in Beit Shemesh costs $1 million. You know, what I'm saying it's like off the charts, like $1 million. When I grew up, $1 million was real money. You know, so if you're in South Africa, $1 million is still real money. But I'm just saying, it's whatever. Anyway. What I want to say, so the Bonaventure of borrowed $1 million. So he said to him, I'm getting cut so much. They said to him, if you don't believe that Hashem's already paid back the money into your bank account, don't get involved in running your tithes. That was a Bonaventure of. His appreciation of Hashem was, it's covered. His son's appreciation of Hashem was like, $1 million? You mean 500,000 is fine. Yeah, that I got. But $1 million? Because it might be something extra growth to the point where, it's a question of recognizing your problem, and when you don't feel tranquil when you recognize how big your problem is because you've given it to Hashem, then you have to grow your betochen a bit more. None of us feel 100% tranquil. We all walk around with some level of anxiety about something. Who has a baal betochen? If there's somebody sitting here who's a baal betochen, I'm outraged. Like, why don't you reveal yourself and help us become baal betochen? No more betochen sitting in this room. Everybody here is at a certain level of betochen. No one here is on Ephes. No one's walking around here like bundled over with an anxiety disorder. But we all have some level of an anxiety disorder. Everybody. You know anybody that's, you know, recognizing how big the problem is and it's all just manana? Those are a few really great individuals. We're all on some level of this journey. So to the extent that I don't have a tochen, that's where I'm feeling worry and angst and diagnosis, whatever the problem is. He recognized the problem, but he realized that he recognized the problem. That's why that's a lower level than Nochemish Gamzu. Rabbi Kiva recognized the enormity of the problem, the risk that was, but he understood that if this is from Hashem, it must be good. And then he was tranquil. But he just, ah, well, there goes the donkey, everything's cool. No. He understood that he was in a sakon, for sure. Nochemish Gamzu didn't see the sakon. He was on such a high level of a talk that he didn't see the sakon. There's a high level of a token. Okay, but I'm saying that's already way beyond our reach, even as a direction finder.
I'm sorry, I'm not finished. Who lost the donkey?
Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was on a lower level.
Okay.
What?
No, it's not. Like a man. He said, there's a higher level.
Nochemish Gomzu was on a level we don't understand. If they want to discuss, it's a much higher level. That's what I'm going to. There's a level of the talk where you see somebody eat and he doesn't die and you get a fright because you see a miracle. Then that's a level of the talk we can't even start beginning to draw. That's what I'm not going to.
So the highest one that we're talking about is recognizing the problem
and knowing a call to.
There is one even higher.
It's a higher level. The Rapsusha, the Rapsusha, the Ramachim, the Gomsu, they don't see they have a problem.
There is no problem. You don't get to forget.
They're not unaware of the problem. They're not living in doo-doo land. They're not living in Disneyland where everything's great and he hasn't put food for his children. There's just no suffering whatsoever from the problems. What you're describing as suffering, he doesn't see a suffering. He just sees everything's good. That's another level. That's not what we're talking about now. Yeah. That's not Nachemish Gamzu. That's in our world of Rabbi Akiva. The Nazis are coming to kill us and you better do something about it because Nazis coming to kill you. It's a problem. Nachemish Gamzu doesn't see Nazis. I'll tell you a story of my sister Hoya in this generation from somebody that I knew, who was lived there maybe 2 years ago. I knew the man, and I heard this from somebody that I know and rely on, Meyachuz. Okay, a very close friend of mine. His father-in-law was the son of the Mashgiach of Slobodka. Heard of the Torah Savram. So it's always one of the most classic Muslim Svarim written in the pre-war generation. Rav Avram Grzynski was the Mashgiach from Sobotka. He had a son, Rav Yitzchok, who lived in Bnei Brak, had a yeshiva called Kolei Savram. Kolei called Torah Savram. Majorly tzaddik. His son-in-law is a very good friend of mine. I'm talking about this generation. Listen carefully, okay? The story is off the charts, but it's a true story that I was holding. It wasn't just talking. So he went through the Holocaust of Yitzchok and eventually arrived here and made his way to Eretz Israel, whatever. And they were having a Shema Brokers, one of the many, many, many grandchildren that he had. Sitting in the room were dozens of grandchildren, great-grandchildren, the whole mishpacha, yeah? This friend of mine gets up to talk at the Shema Brokers, and he says, look at this. Look what an akoma this is to the Nazis. They're trying to wipe us out. They're trying to wipe you out, Saba. Yeah? And look what you have here. Look what a, you know, we've heard the story before, yeah? Look what an akoma this is against Hitler and the Nazis. Yamach Shmom. Yitzchok says, just 1 second, I don't know what you're talking about. Well, what are you talking nonsense? What Nazis? I was there, there were no Nazis. Then we got a bit of a fright, like, you know, what's happened to Saba? You know, Saba's losing it. Ani ma'amin be'emunah shleima sh'aboyrech b'ch shmo hu boyre mani v'kola bruin ru levado oysa v'yaset kola ma'asim. That's what I saw there. I didn't see any Nazis. I saw only a Kodesh Baruch. You understand that's way above our skill set? But he was holding there. He was mamash holding there. Now he was aware of the sakana. He was aware of the sakana. He wasn't a doodle guy. But he raised himself to a level where he saw and it internalized that imunah pshutah. Those are rare, I'm telling you, rare individuals. Not too many of those guys walking around. That's a level. When he Nazis, there were Nazis there. That's called a Kodesh Baruch Hu. There were Arabs that came into Israel on the 7th of October. What are you talking about? I mean, I'm just translating it into something that we can relate to. Now, call Hashem. Okay, cool. I'm a little bit away from them. But there was somebody in this generation that I knew personally that was holding them. Now, am I upset and bummed out and miserable because I'm not holding them? No, because that's not my real, and I accept reality the way it is. That was his reality, and he was working on the next step, whatever that is. And I'm working on my reality, which is a little bit distant from that reality. A few more rungs in the ladder to go up till you get there. I might be able to do it with milk. Going back to how we started the subject here. You know, I'm looking forward to a cup of coffee, and I open up the fridge, and there's no milk. Then I can say, it's not the milk, it's a kol miyashamayim. That maybe I can handle. You know, but Nazis, there are no Nazis, there's no Muslim. Tough side. There's such a thing where you can get your ain or your body. That's the level where you understand everything's just a sham. And then you start recognizing that every time somebody eats and he doesn't die, that's a nice. Anger of Desla, I'm not going into that because I've understood it. I tell you, anger of Desla, I don't understand. I'm going to talk about it. But there's that level. We don't understand that level. We're just trying to scrape off the first layers of nature to penetrate, to see a little bit of Bashdok in the world. That's being real. Am I disappointed? Not in the least. This is who I am, and I'm working what I'm working on. I don't look at the other guy who looks like a gorilla in the gym pushing 1,000 kilos bench press, and I'm just using the bar. Because that's me, and that's him, and I'm not him, and he's not me. The same with Betochen. I'm where I am, and I'm working on my level. So I'm just stretching a little bit. How much? One step at a time. And that's what we're doing here. We have to upgrade what you think Hashem's capable of doing. And that's not easy work. But Tochen is hard work. We said so. Very difficult. And it gets much worse when you wire Ishtadlis into the Tochen. Now you have to make Ishtadlis. And now Ishtadlis is not doing anything. Okay, now it's getting more and more impossible. If you didn't have to do anything, there was no mitzvah of Ishtadlis. You just had to work on your Tochen and it would be easy. Because you're not doing anything, and whatever happens, you understand, comes so much then because you didn't do anything. Yeah? But the minute you're making Ishtadlis, you start attributing the results to your Ishtadlis, and you're allowed to do that. And that's very difficult. Very, very difficult. You know, you go to work, and you have a job, and you get a check at the end of the month. Now, you have to know that your job has nothing to do with the check. Nothing. Okay, but say that. You go ramble around that one. Okay, that's not a subject. But you say, but it's a big subject. But the problem is not our imunah. What you were describing, that everybody knows Hashem is kol yachol, and Hashem said, that's imunah. That's the theory of Betochen. But the Betochen is living comfortably with that knowledge. That's where the disconnect is, and that's where we're working. Everybody here about imunah. Nobody here believes that the world bursts out of gases, and it's, you know, it's a random accident, and we descended from monkeys, and whatever. Nobody believes that. Everybody is imunah that I call Hashem's, you know? Everyone's an imam in Be'emun Ushleima. So I'm still anxious. Because the gap between theory and practice is a gap. So let's, he said we should learn slowly. So we became the mitzvah of learning the safety slowly. 3 lines a day. No, Betochen. Have you noticed? Whenever you start talking about Betochen, somebody wakes up and everybody's there. Betochen's gewaltig for Magid Hashem because you have a captive audience. You talk about anything, no one's listening anymore. Betochen, everybody recognizes what an unbelievable opportunity this is to be a little bit of a Baal Betochen, to grow your Betochen. Everybody knows how mamish, critically important this is. Okay. So let's look at this again. Le Marshal. One guy comes against him. So he has to recognize that a Kodesh Baruch can take care of him against one guy. And his Betochen, now he's relaxed. He recognized the problem. And he recognizes that Hashem can take care of a problem like this. So he goes back to being secure. That means having Betochen. But there's 3,000 guys running around with machine guns coming to catch you. Your understanding of Hashem's chesed and Hashem's gvur and what Hashem's capable of doing, what you had before is not going to help you now. And it's Sarich Shiyakesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oisenisim. You have to start relying on miracles. That you can take care of one guy, you know, okay, Beseder. But now you need to go into a world of 3,000 against me. That's going to require quite a big miracle. Can I still do that? Or grow it? And now you have to be completely calm and tranquil. That's betochen be'emes. We are kari yosik adoyle betochen God or the kasha yosik. That's a higher level of betochen, and it's much harder. As we saw earlier from the Yalkut, the Chofetz Chaim, that Betochen is even for a Rosha. Betochen is not an outcrop. I'm such a big tzaddik, so Hashem takes care of me. No, you can be a Rosha Gomon, you have Betochen, you're taken care of. But we're going to see, and this reconciles this big kasha that everybody's walking around with. And this maybe even answers the Chagas and Lavavas. Is a major difference between the betochen of a tzaddik and a rosh. Avada, abotach b'shem chesed yisus v'enu achfilu rosh gomo. We're going to see a fundamental difference here. It's a moedik chiddush. We have a few minutes. Let's stop. We'll go over this again on Sunday. Aval, hevdel gadol yesh bein the betochen she'atzarich letzaddik lebetochen atzarich la'rosha. The betochen that a tzaddik needs is not the same as the betochen that a Rosha needs. Great difference. That tzaddik dainor bebetochen bebedrege pechusa. A tzaddik, he doesn't need a big high level of betochen. As long as there's some level of betochen, it's fine. Even she'ein b'yod ha'veiroiz, nimtze lefi matzovo megir lo ha'yashuv, v'nimtze sekonosa pechusa. Get people in exactly the same situation. Yeah, there's a danger coming towards both of them, yeah? The tzaddik, he hasn't got a virus. He's got a lot of tzviyot. So it's magielo that he should be saved. But the Rosh is sitting here with a bundle of a virus. Is it lo magielo that he should be saved based on his ma'aseh? You get it? Very important. If you're going to build this properly, you have to have that picture clear. There are two people sitting in a room, and they're coming to get you. The tzaddik has every reason to be saved because he's got a lot of tzviyot. He doesn't have any virus. The Rosh, he's sitting with a bundle of a virus and every reason not to be saved. Okay, that's step number one. Aval Rosha, in Yiftach Kafiyah Sogas Tzadik, if the Rosha is going to have the same betochen as the tzadik, it's not going to help him. Because he's got anti-betochens, you know, what they call, you have betochen and there's anti-betochen. He's got all these avaras lying there. So the level of betochen that he needs is going to have to be much greater than the level of betochen that the tzadik has. There ain't maki godel sekonosu begin avarasoit. Because he doesn't recognize how big his sakona is, because nobody's a virus. He's not having betochen according to the level of the sakona. Objectively, he sees the sakona the same way as the tzaddik. But the tzaddik's in much less sakona because he's got all these shields around him. The Rosh is in a much bigger sakona because he doesn't have all those shriot. I don't know, he has a lot of anti-shriot. He's done a lot of a virus. So his sakona is much greater. According to the level of the sakana, he doesn't have betochen. He's got betochen for $100 and he needs a million. But if he will have more betochen, if he'll start recognizing that Hashem has rachamim, even on him, like we saw by Manasseh, even the worst tzaddik in the world, Hashem has rachamim, that's obvious because Hashem's rachamim is infinite. It's not limited by your evilness. You can't limit Hashem's rachamim. Hashem's rachamim is infinite. And you can't minimize Hashem's rachamim because you're an idiot. It just doesn't work like that. Shara ein maki goes gara, v'nim tse shara fi erach ha-sakona eini botach, aval be'emes im yiftach yoysa, shiyaki shakorot bochum marachem, gam alav b'roi v'choma v'chasodo, pray be'emes yaksil, he'll be saved just like the tzadi. But he's going to have to grow his level of betochen. His level of betochen is going to have to be greater than the tzaddik's in relation to the enormity of the problem. But it's the same problem. They're coming to kill him and they're coming to kill him exactly the same. Yeah, but the tzaddik's got striot. He's got mitzvahs. He doesn't have a virus. The Russian's got the biggest sakana because he's a Russia. Magielo to get eaten up. But if you'll raise his betochen to a higher level, he'll be saved the same as the tzaddik. That's a difference. Moedik insatas. You ever heard of insat like this? Nifla. Let's stop there. Think about this. Sleep on this over Shabbos. His betochen will be greater because he needs a greater level of betochen in order to get saved. Again, if your hypothesis is correct that the level of betochen has to be matin to the level of sakana, the Rosh is in a much bigger level of sakana. So to get saved, your betochen is going to have to get bigger. Doesn't mean it'll be a greater bar betochen than the tzaddik. It just means in this situation, in the marshal, he's going to have to.
Sounds like betochen then actually help you. I'm not talking. We're talking about minutes. The nefesh, about peace. Hashem's going to, you know, what's going to be is going
to
be.
Again, we don't want to get into the discussion. We don't get into the machlokes of the chovos of avos and Rashi. Where if you have betochen, Hashem will always save. And according to Rashi, no, betochen means that whatever happens, you're always tranquil, even if it's not what you wanted.
I don't want to get into that
machlokes. That's Hashem. When we finish this, we'll go back to the Talmud Sforim. We'll learn that. We'll get into that again. I don't want to go down there because it needs a lot of hakdamas.
Which is saying that your betochen can actually.
We're working here with the hanaga that if you're a baal betochen, you will be saved. If you have the correct betochen. If your betochen is not big enough for the problem, that's a chiddush. That's what he's saying. And it's very, very real. Huh?